from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All things Greenbrier, maybe a little bit of pickleball there with our very own Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, welcome to the show, buddy.
How you doing, Nick?
Doing very well. Oh, very businessy right out of the gate here, Daryl. Yeah.
Oh, it's a business trip down here.
Look at that. You're making business decisions like Eli Manning circa 2009. So let's start with the obvious news here. How significant is it that Deshaun Watson shut it down before the other three quarterbacks on day four of training camp today?
Well, it happened at the very end of practice, and it was very curious. And in fact, in the B-roll from practice that I had posted on X, I believe it's the last clip that I included there, was the rep from Watson where he kind of like went through the cones back and forth and, like QB mobility type of thing. And then he, flipped the ball to Ken Dorsey, who then, flipped it back to him to throw, and his throw toward the net was not great. I mean, it didn't even get to the net. It was short. And then, the quarterbacks went through their reps, and then Deshaun took off, his pads. It looked like it was the end of practice. Other position groups were kind of breaking down and, getting ready to hop on the shuttles to get back up the hill. And, the quarterbacks kept going through that particular drill two more times, but Watson did not. He had his pads off. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, Nick, I really thought nothing of it, at the time. All the indications from the Browns have been that, everything's fine with Deshaun's shoulder and, his rehab program has been going well and he's on schedule. There are going to be some times where they're going to have him take it easy, but not nearly as much as they did during the offseason program. So I'll be interested to see what happens tomorrow morning with Deshaun. Does he get a full workload? Is it what I believe it to be? And that's just, hey, practice is over and, just kind of, decided to take the last two reps off, or is there something more to this to where he has a problem in that shoulder again? So that'll be something I'll be following first thing tomorrow morning.
Daryl, you guys have been following the pattern of the offense so far with Deshaun and really the first teamers. Apparently, some who has observed that there's a lot of short passing going on, not a lot of deep passing. Is that something you can second that you observe? And what did you think about Andrew Berry's comments that that's just where the open receivers were through the first 3 days of practice?
Well, they're not doing a lot of competitive periods right now. So I would say kind of take some of that with a grain of salt. I'll be honest with you, Nick, I'm not reading a lot into these practices right now because, frankly, they're not doing a lot. It's a lot of individual and positional drills, a lot of hands-on coaching with guys. And I don't mean that as a criticism. It's the reality of what they're doing right now. We had the 7-on-7 red zone drill on Saturday. We've had a brief 11-on-11 period in which, Kevin Stefanski kind of had to step in and say, hey, guys, y'all teammates, let's take it easy. We're not trying to get anyone hurt out of here. It's, not the time to be dialing up the competition. But at some point, they've got to start firing some live bullets. Today was the first padded practice. It was in the rain. They moved practice up this morning to about 8:45. They were done by 10 o'clock. They're going to be in shells tomorrow. They'll be back. They'll do, I guess, some light stuff on Wednesday, which we are not partaking in. We're not part of that. We won't see whatever it is they're going to do. Thursday, they're supposed to be in pads. And then Friday morning's getaway day. It's, you know, get out of town. They'll practice at 9 a.m. I think they'll be probably done 10:15, and, you know, getting ready to board a plane to get back to Cleveland while we're all racing to jump in our cars and get back to Cleveland. So, I expect things to really get dialed up once they get back to Berea, and then obviously with the Minnesota Vikings coming to town.
Daryl, looking at Andrew Berry's comments today, we talked a little bit about his stadium comments earlier today about, you know, if it was it was up to him. Big fan of the domed idea. They're not gladiators. They're athletes. I guess let's start there. Do you think that was what's the right word? Do you think that Andrew Berry says that if the organization doesn't want him to say it?
No. I think the dome's happening. It's just a matter of going through the process to make it a reality. Certainly they've got to get the mayor of Cleveland on board. The Haslam spoke over the weekend about having dinner with him recently. They want the dome. Like, it's the worst kept secret in the world. The Cleveland Browns want to build a dome in Brook Park and have it open in 2029. They're leaving the door open to a potential renovation. But do they really want 15 years of construction around a renovated stadium while the city figures out what they're doing with the lakefront? No. So it's a matter of going through, the process here. Jimmy Haslam, I believe it was Jason Lloyd of The Athletic, to just point blank asked Jimmy Haslam two questions. He said, one, does it need to be a ballot initiative? And Haslam said, it's our understanding, no. It doesn't, which means voters are not going to be involved in this process, really. Why not pay for it yourself? Obviously, the Haslams are worth billions upon billions of dollars. What it comes down to is the stadium economics in the country now at least have gotten to a 50-50 partnership. Around the country. It used to be the municipalities were having to, since obviously Art Modell moved the Browns to Baltimore and turned them into the Ravens, it was pretty much 100% on local governments to pay for facilities. And because the costs have skyrocketed for these buildings, not only for renovations, but for new buildings, it's now turning into a 50-50 partnership. Basically what the Browns are saying is you own the building. That's your responsibility. And we'll go ahead and pay for all the stuff that makes us the money, the bells and whistles and the suites and stuff like that. And, it's a pretty fair proposition in that regard. The Browns are of the belief that the taxes generated, not just from a dome, but from a $1.4 billion privately financed development that includes restaurants and hotels and shops and apartments and all these other things will help reimburse the public investment. The math on that remains to be seen, but it's crystal clear that the dome is where the Browns want to go. And that's why, when Barry, because let's be honest about Nick, when does Andrew Berry ever take a side on anything, right? When does he ever answer a question emphatically when it comes to the business of the game, right? Whether it's player contracts or anything else. And for him to come out today and say, if I had my preference, it'd be a dome, but, we'll be happy with, whatever happens, so long as it, improves the fan experience.
So I guess we'll do the big picture of this. Between Andrew Berry and the Haslams, what else has stood out to you from what we heard this weekend and obviously today from that trio?
Well, you know, certainly the stability of the organization, you know, moving forward with Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, that's obviously uncharted territory for the Haslams and, quite frankly, this organization in a very, very long time. The expectations are certainly, you know, as high as they can be. The Deshaun Watson thing, man, like, I still can't get over what happened on Saturday with him, or was it Friday? Or maybe it was Friday that he talked. It's one big blur right now. The way he presented himself, you know, that just really stood out because, you know, we've been pretty fair to him. And ever since he came back from the suspension and the disciplinary settlement with the NFL, you know, pretty much all the focus and attention in our media sessions, Nick, has 100% been football related. But for him to come back and play the victim card and rehash the, you know, his character was attacked and that, well, I mean, it's not our fault that there's hundreds and hundreds of pages of court documentation alleging things that you may or may not have done, right? And that, you know, you reached confidential settlements with the, alleged or the accusers, right? So he's clearly still holding a grudge there and, you know, struggling with, you know, why, you know, people, I guess, still don't like him and things like that. And that was a little surprising to me the other day because, and I unfortunately got the ball rolling on that. I asked him an innocuous question about, setting aside the rehab aspect, you know, what is different about his approach coming into his third season with the Browns. And that's when he started off with the body mouth and, tuning out the noise, this, that, and the other, and talk about his character and being attacked and not giving to, you know, what's about what the critics think and things like that. And that really stood out to me. And I don't know that that's the right frame of mind he should be in, quite frankly.
So I saw Jason's article on this. I know you were on the morning show and had some comments on this. Is there something Deshaun could have done differently the last 2 years that maybe would have changed his feelings on how he's perceived or maybe changed his likability in Cleveland?
Yeah, I don't know. I certainly understand and respect that, you know, during that process that he was going through, not only legally, but with the league, he's limited in what he can say for legal reasons. Right. I don't know. I do feel like that he just, for whatever reason, he wanted to get that off his chest on Saturday. And I just, you know, look, let's be honest about it, Nick. If he goes out and he, you know, wins and he plays extremely well, like, that's what everyone's going to be talking about. So I guess the answer to your question is, I don't know, be available, be on the field, and play well when you're on the field.
Daryl, looking to Nick Chubb, we're kind of all over the place with expectations for when Nick will be back, how the Browns are going to handle this. If Nick is unlikely to be ready for the first week or two, does it make most sense for the team to open up a roster spot by putting him on the PUP list? Or do you think if they only expect him to miss the first week or two that Nick will be on the active roster but maybe inactive?
Well, I'm not all over the place. I don't expect them to see him the first couple of weeks of the season. I really don't. He's the other day when he was doing the post-practice sprints, it looked good. He looked great, right? He cut a little, but like, you know, there's a ways to go. I think Andrew Berry said it best today when he was asked about Chubb and his progress. There are still some things that have to happen for him to put on the pads and get back out there. So I think that the reason it's all over the place, Nick, everyone's excited to see him back, and every little thing he does, we're paying attention to. And it's all positive, but I just feel like the reality of the situation, look, Jack Conklin had a I think ACL and MCL. Chubb had the same thing, but Chubb also had some other injuries that required two surgeries to fix his knee. And Conklin isn't even back yet. So, you know, Conklin like had the lesser of the knee injuries, and he's not back yet and ready to go. And Conklin's not out there doing anything that Nick Chubb is doing. So I just I'm thinking that if you see Nick Chubb by the second month of the season, that is the win. I will be pleasantly surprised if he's available in that first month of the season. I'm not hating. I'm just being very realistic about it. And I know the Browns are also trying to make sure that they don't ask Nick Chubb to do too much too fast.
Daryl, looking to the Guardians, coming off a very nice weekend, getting the series win over the Philadelphia Phillies, who had the previous best record in baseball. I still have the best record in baseball heading into the weekend. 24 hours out to the trade deadline, are you on Gardo's watch to see if they'll make a move?
Well, everyone else is making trades in baseball right now, so I don't know, you know, what the holdup is. They might want to get on the party. They still need a starting arm. They need a bat. There's no question about it. You know, the offense is sputtered here a little bit, but, you know, to their credit, man, they're finding ways to scratch out wins. That series in Philadelphia was real impressive. I know they got shut out, what was it, on Saturday, but...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, they won Friday night, they won yesterday. They lead baseball and come from behind victories this year. But, I kind of feel like the front office owes it to that clubhouse to go out and do something to give them a shot in the arm and a legitimate chance come October. I do feel that way. I'm very skeptical that the front office is actually going to make that happen, though.
Daryl, how did these pickleball teams get decided?
Randomly.
Like out of a hat? Like, how do we do this?
No, they just started, you know, you and you. Yeah, that's kind of how it was done. Yeah.
But who just, like, did somebody point, like, was there, like, a figurehead at the Browns who did the drafting? I just want to know, because it felt like you put your body on the line, and it felt like, you know, maybe you were saddled. Who was your partner?
I was with one of the members of the PR staff. I had never played before, and look, I was probably, without question, I don't hide it, I was probably the worst player on the court.
Mm-hmm. Sounds right.
Again, I'm not hiding it. Mary Kay was phenomenal. Fred Greetham was great. Fred and Dan Murphy ended up winning the thing. Peter and Mary Kay ended up finishing second. I'm proud to say that I was Murph and Greetham's first shutout of the afternoon. it was fun. And, you know, I had so much fun that I'm going to try and find a way when I get back to Cleveland to play some pickleball. It's a fun sport. My eyes got open to something new. So I had a lot of fun, even though I wasn't very good. I got to make sure I get good, though, so next year when we do this, you know, I can get a little
get
payback.
That ass.
How many teams were there?
I have to think about this now. There were like 8 or 9 teams.
Where'd you guys finish?
Oh, dead last. We didn't win. I did not win. I told you I was the worst player on the court. Like, I'm not hiding it. We scored a grand total of 6 or 7 points in 4 games where we went 0-4.
To quote Hugh Jackson, we own that. Daryl?
Yes.
Great stuff, buddy. Appreciate
you. I do. You bet.
Daryl Ryder there, renowned pickleball player on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Great stuff with him. And again, if you're just joining us, there was a story that basically Deshaun wrapped up his day at practice just a little bit before the other 3 quarterbacks did. That happened to coincide with a not good pass. And so that has led to some speculation about whether that is something. Definitely something worth noting over the next 24 hours until they practice again tomorrow. But I think in the same way we talked about, you know, the first 3 days of practice where everybody kind of that saw the limited amount that they did see of this team practicing, they saw that a lot of the offense was a bunch of short passes underneath stuff, and they didn't know whether that was part of Deshaun's recovery plan, whether that was part of the new offense, or whether it was just part of a small sample size of what they saw. And this is where we are. Like, this is where you are when you have a player coming off a unheralded injury. You know, there's really no proof of concept of a starting quarterback in the NFL coming off this injury and returning to play because nobody's really had to have this surgery before. This is what this whole thing's going to be like. And if you ask me today, like, is everything going to work out? Is everything going to be okay? I don't know. It's like the Deshaun thing where Deshaun lashed out. That's where Deshaun went out of his way multiple times to talk about how he doesn't care what people think, and blocking out the noise is a big part of this. Okay. I mean, it's noise that he created, but like at the same point, like we've just gotten to the absolute line in the sand where either he does or doesn't play well. And that doesn't mean, by the way, that they're going to move on from him if this season goes poorly or if he can't stay healthy, but we are where we are. And where we are right now is every day we're watching Deshaun Watson with a fine-tooth comb. And I think it absolutely, one, I think Zach Jackson got an unfair amount of crap the previous 2 years where he said the offense didn't look good in training camp. So I think it's totally fair that Zach is now coming out and saying, hey, yeah, I'm noticing a lot of short passes here. And it is, in fairness, it's not the Browns' job to go punch by punch and tell you that they are, to say anything other than the cliche standards, which is we're pretty confident that Deshaun is where he needs to be, and we're confident that this year that, you know, we're going to finally have full payoff on where, you know, what we expected 2 years ago when we traded for Deshaun Watson. Teams lie, teams spin, and so it's on the Zachs of the world, the Daryls of the world, to look for the truth. And I'm going to be holding my breath until tomorrow when Deshaun has a normal period of practice and Deshaun can go out and throw. And in fairness, I'm going to be holding my breath until I see it in the regular season. And then, guys, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be holding my breath most of the season. Every hit, I'm going to look at how he gets up. Every bad throw, I'm going to look at his body language. I'm going to look at what his mechanics were. This is where we are. This is what happens when you have 2 years that feel, at least to this point, like a wasted opportunity. Every single thing is going to be scrutinized until he goes out there and does what he was is paid to do, what he was traded to do. And by the way, a lot of us, and when I say a lot of us, I'm not talking about myself. A lot of people in town have solely held Deshaun accountable because we don't have a history with Deshaun, because Deshaun, the way he handled cleanup from the PR side of things wasn't great and wasn't effective and wasn't really a good manner of doing it. there's just a lot of things that you can just point to with Deshaun. I would say, don't let the Cleveland Browns off on that. The Cleveland Browns made the decision to move off the guy who previously they didn't like how he handled PR and how he handled the way he expressed his emotion or thoughts, and who may have not met their expectations on the field. They moved on from that guy for this guy. And they traded. Deshaun didn't trade six top 100 picks for himself and give himself a guaranteed contract. So this is not to let Deshaun off the hook. It's to say the Browns, they have earned their part in this conversation. So doesn't matter if they like it, if Deshaun likes it, this is where we are. Where we are is every single pass will be scrutinized. Every single time he comes out and doesn't say things perfectly, or it doesn't seem like his answer was in line with what the question entailed. Like when he said, I got to cut out, I can't listen to the BS. Or when he purposefully made sure to let everybody know he doesn't give two bleeps. Okay, you can say that. But there are going to be people in town that roll their eyes, and there are going to be people in town that maybe don't like that answer because it's been 2 years of 2 years of not enough to substantiate the last 2 years in what could be the next 3 years.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.